All right, so today we're going to talk about evangelism, the body of Christ. There's a couple of things. There's really two things. If you kind of look at it, there's two things that we're called to do as Christians, not just be Christians, right? There's two main things that everything we do falls under those two categories, right? One of them is evangelism, should be. What is evangelism? What is evangelism? It is, I'm going to read it to you. I have it. It's further down in my notes, so I got to go down there, and then I'm going to come back because I'm skipping ahead. Wait, it's way down there in my notes. Evangelism, it's on your paper there, is the spread of the Christian gospel by public preaching or by personal witness. By public preaching or by personal witness. So we're called to evangelism, but we're also called to discipleship, to help those who are just coming to Christ to know what the Word of God says. How many of you know the best example of that, and we're going to talk about that more in a minute, the best example is that is our lives and the way we live them, right? I can talk all day long, but at the end of the day, my actions show you where my heart is, right? That's what happens. And we look through the scripture, and we think of evangelists or evangelism only coming from evangelists. I'm going to read the scripture, Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, and it says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So equipping the saints, what would that be? Equipping the saints would be discipleship. Equipping the saints. What would building up the body of Christ be? Evangelism. Going out and sharing and allowing the body to grow. How many of you know all bodies grow? I wish my kids would stop. I saw this little baby at we was out yesterday at the water park, and there was this little baby, and I was like, I miss my girls being that big. I want them to stop growing. I don't want them to stop growing because that's not healthy, right? I want them to grow. I want them to be what God created them to be, but I if I could stop time, I would, and I or go back even. April started looking the other night at our like it was time to go to sleep, and there was you know how you have the bright light next to you, and you're like, would you stop whatever you're doing? Just, I want to go to sleep. That's where I was at that moment. But then when she showed me what she was doing, she was looking at all the pictures of our girls when they were babies and remembering and saying, man, I missed that point. But how many of you know they're going to continue to grow, right? They're going to continue to get bigger, and it's natural and it's healthy. The body of Christ is the same way. We should continue to grow. We should continue to get bigger. And how do we do that? By us doing our part. How many of you know God does all the work, right? But we still get to be a part of what he's doing. We can't do it without him, right? He's necessary. He's a necessity. I was trying to say he's a necessity, and it's necessary, all in the same thing, and it was messed up. But it's necessary that he be a part of it, because without him, nothing works, right? I hope we've learned that by now. I think most of us have. I think we've learned that when we try to do things without him, not good, right? And so we definitely need him to be a part of it, but he allows us to be a part of what he's doing, and that's one of the most amazing things I think about my life that I love the most, is that God said, I want to use you. As jacked up as you are, I want to use you, right? And then he makes you not be as jacked up anymore, right? You're still kind of jacked up in little ways. But anyway, the scripture starts telling us that it's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So that, what does that mean? That means all the saints have ministry to do, right? It's not just equip the saints so that they can be saved, right? No, it's to equip the saints for the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. When we look at all these different things that he gave the apostles. The word apostle is translated, when it's translated, it means sent. So it means the apostle is a messenger or an ambassador that's sent by Christ or by God to preach Christ, right? How many of you know we are all, to an extent, supposed to do that, right? We're going to talk about that again in a minute. All these things, he gave certain, I don't know how to say it, jobs or positions or holdings, anointings on certain people to be just that, right? But we all have a part in doing those things, right? How many of you know there are some chefs out there, right? They're chefs. They went to school. They do all these things. How many of you still cook at home? I don't. It's bad when it happens. But you get what I'm saying, right? You do it at home. Just because you're not a chef doesn't mean you don't cook, right? Same thing. Just because you're not an apostle doesn't mean that you're not sent to tell people about Christ. Now, that office is there and it is set apart. along with all these other ones that are there, but we all have an ability to do and work in these areas as well. Right? There's a prophet. The simplest definition of a prophet is that that he or she is God's mouthpiece. If you look in the Old Testament, what happened? The prophet came and they spoke about what God had them to speak about. Sometimes really, really good. Most of the time, if you look in the Old Testament, it was never good, right? That's why Jesse was so upset when the prophet of God was coming to his house, because he didn't know he was going to anoint one of his sons to be king. He's just like, oh no, the prophet's coming. What did we do? What do we need to change? Let's get everything right. How many of you have those moments in life? Oh no, well, let's get everything right really quick. I used to do that when my dad was coming home when I was a kid. Like, you're in trouble, dad's coming home. But the prophet of God is the mouthpiece, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, they bring divine direction to the church and correction as necessary. How many of you need correction sometime? How many of you don't like taking correction sometimes? How many of you know a lot of times we get our correction in not good situations? Conflict, right? I was telling them Wednesday at our Bible study, man, that here not too long ago, again, there's truth in things whether it's presented to you in the right way or the wrong way, correct? So I'm in an argument with someone that I love in my family. I love them. We're arguing. How many of you know families argue, right? So we're arguing, and this is a statement that was made of me. And they said, I'm not your wife. You can't talk to me like that. And I was like, wait a minute. After I started thinking, it made me mad at first. I'm like, how are you going to tell me that? Wife in a manner that's not respectful to her. I don't ever want to be mean or rude to her. And if I'm doing it and don't realize it, because I don't think I am, then I need to change. But you know what that gave me an opportunity to do? When I wasn't mad, I calmed down. I went and I said, babe, do I talk to you in a way that I should? Am I rude to you? Am I disrespectful to you? And she looked at me and she said, sometimes. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I don't want to be that. Help me. I want to, y'all, guys, you all know your wife would say the same thing to y'all. Like, yep, you do. It's all the time. No. But you know what? That gave me an opportunity to change and to look at my life and say, you know what? I need to fix something if that's what people see. Because sometimes it's not the intention of why we do what we do. It's what people see out of what we've done. Right? A prophet is one who brings the word of God, who God speaks and the Holy Spirit speaks and says, hey, this is what you need to say. How many of you have ever been prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something or to say something, right? We want to talk about being obedient another day, but how many of you have been told by the Holy Spirit to do those things, to say something? Hey, you need to say this to that person. Why? Because I said. Because you know what? When you don't do it, it doesn't work. Here, a little while back, I'm going to talk to you guys, and Linda, y'all can share this because we shared it on Wednesday. So a little while back, Cindy gave a word, a tongues, and I felt like I was supposed to stay here and say, hey, if God has given you the interpretation, you need to say it. And I ain't say it. Linda's sitting on the front row, and she had the interpretation, but she didn't speak out. Do you know what? If I would have been obedient, she would have been able to use a gift that God had given her. But because I wasn't obedient and didn't speak when he told me to speak, guess what happened? She didn't use her gift. So I not only hurt me by not doing what I was supposed to do, I could have hurt some of you because she didn't speak the word. Now, Cindy gave the interpretation and it was right on and it was from the scriptures and it was what it was supposed to be. But had I done what the Holy Spirit told me, there would have been a different outcome. How many of you know in your lives, if you would do what the Holy Spirit tells you, you're going to have a different outcome. And it's always going to be better than the outcome that you probably have, right? I robbed some people of some things that because I was disobedient, right? Sometimes God gives us things to speak. Now, I don't consider myself a prophet, but does God tell me things to say sometimes? He does. I get to operate in that sometimes, although I am not considered a prophet. You have the same opportunities. You have the same things. Now we're going to talk about an evangelist. And when we think about an evangelist, we think about somebody who just goes around from place to place and gets people saved and then leaves, right? Well, that's not technically what an evangelist is or does. That's a ministry. Now the ministry of an evangelist is one who's appointed by God to proclaim what Jesus has accomplished. How many of you know? You're supposed to proclaim what Jesus has accomplished, whether you hold the position of an evangelist or not. What Jesus accomplished on the cross in order to lead other people to repentance. And again, it is different than what an evangelist is and the office of an evangelist. But at the same time, we are all called to that. And that's what we're going to talk about more today. But then it talks about a pastor. I put pastor and shepherd together, y'all. The title of a pastor in the Greek word is episkopos. I don't know how to say that, y'all. It's there. I listened to it like 6 times yesterday. Still can't get it right. It's one of those words that's there. And what it means is to watch over, to keep, to take care of, to guide, to feed. And that's why I said a pastor also is called a shepherd. They're put into a position, into a place to look after, to shepherd, to guide. And this is the thing. People look at pastors like they're supposed to do everything. I'm just going to be real, y'all. Like, and let me give you an example. Hey, you need to hear about Jesus. Let me take you to my pastor so he can tell you, right? I've had that done before. Now, granted, the person that brought me probably might have got some things messed up when they brought him, you know, when they had told him if they told him themselves. So it was a good thing. But at the same time, I've been to churches where they would ask the pastor if they could buy a car or buy a house. And if he said yes, then they could. And if he said no, then they couldn't. That's not what a pastor is supposed to do, y'all. That's not. And in the history of the church, there's been a lot of, and we see it, just the same way that Christians get a bad name because of how some people act, pastors get a bad name because of how some pastors act. It's true. It's true. And this is the one thing that I want everybody to understand, that if you're following me, you're going to be in the ditch, right? What does the scripture say? If the blind lead the blind, they both end up in the ditch, right? That's what the Bible says. If you're looking to me to model your life after me, I'm going to mess up some. And so y'all probably be a little messed up. You know, a copy of a copy of a copy? You know what you need to do? You need to line your life up with this, and then you don't have to worry about whether it is. The reason why I give you these notes is not so that I have busy work to do. It's so that during the week you can go back and say, you know what, this is what he talked about. Let me find that in the scripture and make sure that that's what the Bible really says. Make sure that that's what I'm supposed to be hearing, because you know what, we hear a lot. Scripture tells us in the end days there's going to be all kinds of false prophets that are leading people in the wrong direction. And if you look at the church, you look at society, like, y'all, we're headed in the wrong direction. Why is that? Because we start looking at people instead of looking at God. We start following people and what people says, well, they said I should do this, so I'm going to do this. Well, what does the Bible say? It says to do the opposite of that. So how can you be doing that? We need to look at those different things. A pastor is put in a place to help, to lead, to help, to guide, to be there, to help take care of. But God is the one you need to look to. Paul said this, again, he changed it at the end, but he said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? If you follow me, I'm going to mess up. How many of you got like a bad something that you need to get rid of, right? Like only 3 of y'all and a couple chicken wings. But we all have issues that we have in our lives, right? I'm going to be honest with you. I have an anger problem. I get mad. I get upset. I get frustrated. I don't deal with things well. God has changed me a lot. Dwayne said the other day, he's like, man, you're a lot different than when you came, because you would have just exploded right then when you first got here 2 years ago. I can see a difference. I'm like, shut up, Dwayne. Shut up. Right? But it's one of those things that we all have things and issues. And so if we're looking at people, then we're going to end up messed up somewhere. That's why the scripture is so important. But God has given us people in our lives to look to say, hey, that's what I want to be with my life. There's marriages that I've modeled my life after, my marriage after, and said, man, look at that. That's what do we have to do to get there? Right? There's pastors, right? I don't want to be them because I'm me. And if I'm them, then I'm a bad me, right? Sometimes I'm a bad me anyway, right? Don't say that, Rob. It's one of those things, right? It's one of those things. Sometimes, but I see, man, that's amazing. Let me take some of that and see how it fits and works in my life so that it changes me to be better. How many of you know we do that? We take things from individuals that are around us, some good, some bad, and that makes the sum of who we end up being. That's why it's so important, the people that you allow to plant things into your life and make sure that they're following the word of God. It's no different with that. Then there's teachers. Man, there are some people that are just anointed to teach, right? Now, my dad is a pastor. He has a pastor's heart, but he can teach. If you ever listen to him, he can teach, man. He can talk about the Word of God in ways that you're like, is that really in there? It is. And he gave me the scripture beforehand, right? John, we talked about that before. He said, he'd give you something, and you'd be like, where do you see that at? And then he'll say, right here, here, and here. And like, oh, yeah, okay, great. I never saw that before, right? I mean, you know, each and every one of us have those moments where God has given us things for us to give to other people, for us to speak into other people's lives, for us to teach others. Although, look, I'm my kid's teacher right now in first grade and fourth grade, and it's scary, y'all. I'm hoping they turn out all right, you know? I'm not a teacher. You have the gifting to be a teacher, right? I'm just, can you say A? A. All right, you're 9. That's great. We'll work on B tomorrow, right? It's one of those things. I'm not a teacher, but there are some that are called to that. But do you know what? God puts opportunities for me to teach people all throughout my life. And so we look at evangelism and we're like, wait a minute, man, I'm not an evangelist. But this is the thing. Just because you're not an evangelist doesn't mean that you're not going to evangelize. Doesn't mean that you're not supposed to share the good news and the gospel and allow people to come to him. Do you know what it's called in the scripture? It's called the ministry of reconciliation. I looked it up. Ministry means the action of ministering to someone, right? Reconciliation means the restoration of friendly relationships. You know what that means? We're called to help facilitate people to have a relationship with God. That's what Jesus Christ did. He made a way. Remember, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except how? Through me, right? What are we to do with our lives? We're to point to what Christ did so that there's access to the Father. That's our ministry. That's what our lives should do in every aspect, every manner, every way. And I get it. We get it wrong. But at the same time, there's forgiveness found in him, right? That's why it says there's no more condemnation, right? There's therefore now no condemnation. All things, old things are gone, and all things are what? Made new. Made new. I gotta be made new kind of a lot sometimes, just to be honest. But it's one of those things that God is working on me. He's fixing it. It's a process. Just remember, don't get stuck in the process. That's a side. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 20. This is where the scripture comes from, the ministry of reconciliation. He said, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How many of you have ever thought about it that God trusted his message to us? He gave it to us to take care of, to share. He said, man, I know you can do this. Sometimes we look at our lives and like, man, I can't do that. I can't say those things. I can't do that. Again, remember the sticker? It was a Victory Church sticker. I was like, hey, why don't you put one of these on your car? He's like, nope, because then everybody's going to watch how I drive and blame Victory Church. And I know how I drive. So there's that, right? I don't want to do that. God entrusted his message to us. He gave it to us, not just so that I have it, but so that I can give it to other people continuously, over and over and over. So thinking about this as the body of Christ, we're called to share how good God is. Why is that important that we share? First of all, we're all called to. Why are we all called to do it? How come he just doesn't let preachers and evangelists and all those people, why are we all called to minister to the ministry of reconciliation? Have you ever thought about it? Like, why does he call me to do that? Because you know what? If it was only pastors, you know how many people would never hear the gospel of Christ because they wouldn't step foot in a church? Right? And as it is, I only see so many people in a week. How many people do you see in a week? If we added up all the people that each of us see in this place, how many people will we be able to reach? A bunch. And that's the way it's designed. That's the way it's planned. And this is what happens when we all do our part. You guys ready? I've told you guys about Mordecai Ham and Billy Graham, right? But I haven't told you the beginning of all this story. You guys ready for this? There's a man named Edward Kimball. He was an ordinary Christian. He taught Sunday school in his church. And he made a living at a shoe store, right? He's a real person. He had a real passion for sharing the gospel. One day, Edward was determined he was going to look for an opportunity to explain the gospel to a salesman that had just been hired on that was on his staff named Dwight. Edward was nervous. How many of you get nervous? Like, I'm nervous. Why? I don't know. God's good and he's going to help me. But anyway, he's nervous. He hemmed and hawed and paced back and forth. And then Dwight was in the back putting away some shoes. And so finally, Edward mustered up the courage and he launched into the story of Jesus' birth, his death, his resurrection, and what God wanted to do. And Dwight gave his life to Christ that day. Dwight is better known as D.L. Moody. You guys ever heard of him? He went on to become one of the greatest evangelists ever. The story doesn't stop there because one day Moody was preaching and a pastor named F.B. Meyer was listening and he was deeply stirred and he established a nationwide preaching ministry. Later when Meyer was preaching, a young man in the audience named Wilbur Chapman accepted Christ. Chapman later felt the call to evangelism. He was proclaiming the gospel in a bunch of different places, and he decided he needed some help, so he decided to hire a former baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday. You guys ever heard of Billy Sunday? It's crazy how it works, isn't it? So he was looking for a job, so Chapman hired him. Billy asked if he could preach every now and then. Like, okay, I'm going to come work for you, but can I preach every now and then? He said, yeah, okay, you can. Every now and then you can do it. How many of you know he was one of the greatest pastors, preachers of the early 1900s, right? Sharing the gospel of Christ. One day, Billy Sunday was preaching in Charlotte, North Carolina, where a great move of God was taking place. Many people believed. And the new believers, they invited a new preacher that nobody really knew to come and preach a tent revival in Charlotte. And his name was Mordecai Ham. And then he, again, like I told you, preached this message, thought nobody really paid much attention, and a tall, lanky farm boy walked down the aisle, gave his life to Christ, and that is Billy Graham, right? William Franklin Graham. So, this whole story started by a guy that worked at a shoe store. Wasn't an evangelist, wasn't a preacher. He taught Sunday school. He did all those things, but the ripple effect of what we do and when we plant those seeds and how it goes out from our lives is endless. Millions of people can come to know Christ because you decide to tell somebody at Walmart how good God is. It happens time and time and time again. And we think, man, what I say doesn't really matter, and I'm not really called to do that, or I'm not there. Man, we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to just step out and to speak the truth, to speak what God has done. Again, evangelism is the spread of the gospel, Christian gospel, by public preaching or personal witness. There's five things that I'm going to talk about today, five types of evangelism. The first one is, in your notes, is proclamation, right? That's what people do every Sunday, Wednesday nights. They go to different places and they preach. Evangelists go and they have tent revivals and all these different things. And they preach from the pulpit. They preach from the street corner. Up in Louisiana, man, they got a lot of people that just go down to New Orleans and preach on the corner, right? Some of them are fire and brimstone. Some of them are Jesus loves you, come to him. It's all different types. But you know what? All different types of people need to be talked to all different types of way, right? How many of you know? All right. So I got two kids. Love them both, Sydney and Shelby. You know, one of them I got to yell at or they're not going to listen, right? Like, honestly, I'm like, hey, can you do that? Hey, can you do that? Hey, can you do that? Okay, Dad, I'll do it, right? And the other one, you're just like, hey, can you do that? Yes, Dad, I'll do it, right? It don't have to be all those different things. The other one, if you don't yell, like, in this one and out that one, right? Some of us are like that with God. Yeah. Tell you the truth. Some of it God has to yell at in order to get us. It has to be really loud. Or we don't pay attention. See, some people have to have that to be a part of their life. I had somebody tell me that they weren't going to come to our church because they didn't feel bad when they left. Because when they go to church, they should feel like they were dirty and they're rotten when they left. I'm like, no, you should feel clean because you give everything to Christ, right? Like, stop twisting it on me like that. But you know what I mean, right? I'm like, man, some people, you have to be that way with or they won't listen, right? And it's not that proclamation preaching is bad or that it's hard. Paul did it. Peter and John did it. They went to different places. They went to the synagogue. They preached. They stood out and did those different things. They were in the churches, the house churches, and the different things that they did and the different ways. So proclamation evangelism is not bad, but not everybody wants to do that. How many of you would like for next week me to give you this microphone and you come up here and preach on Sunday? Some of you be like, all right, I'm in. And some of you are like, no, I don't ever want to do that. I'll never come back, right? That's just how it is. Some people are that way. Number two in your notes, man, apologetics. The defense of the Christian faith through rational discourse is called apologetics. We see over and over and over the defense in the scripture, especially defending themselves in the book of Acts. Acts 2:14, Peter's there. He's standing up with the 11 and lifted his voices and addressed them. Men of Judea who dwell in all Jerusalem, let it be known to you and give ear to my words. And then this is right after the Holy Spirit comes, the falling of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And they're all like, what's going on? And he stands up and he says, this is what's happening. This is what God wants to do to you. You see this? This is why this is happening, right? You see Paul all throughout the scriptures going into the synagogues and debating the word of God with the Jews that were there, showing them in scripture, laying it out, saying, hey, this is what the scripture says. And this is how it is. You see Stephen right before he was stoned. Right? Acts 7, man. He gets up and he just starts laying it out. And he starts from Moses and comes all the way down, right? He just keeps going all the way through and lays it all out and says, hey, this is what it is. Why was he doing that? Because they were about to kill him. And they did. Right? Sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. Right? But let me tell you something. God's word doesn't return void, because who was standing right there holding the coats when that happened? And Stephen said all those different things. Paul. Saul at the time, Paul, who preached, who wrote a lot of this, a lot of what we go by today, the scriptures that we're reading, the things that are happening, it all came about. And he was standing there on the other side of the fence at the time. How many times do you think he replayed that in his mind that whole time, that scene, what he said, how it happened? He said, man, what I say is not really important. No. We were at dinner last week. Was it last weekend? Who was at lunch with Charlie Simmons came in. Remember, I talked to y'all about Charlie Simmons the other day? And I stood there with my kid. And I said, you remember the man that I kept telling you said, you need to get your life right. God loves you. You need to stop doing these things you're doing. You need to do all these things. I said, you remember me telling you about him? I said, he's like, yeah. I was like, that's him. That's him. Some old lady behind me tapped me on the back. She said, God is good, isn't he? Like, I don't even know you. Why'd you tap me on the back? She's like, God is good, isn't he? He's like, yes, ma'am, he is. And then you know what Charlie started saying? He said, and do you know how I came to Christ? Because this man's father did my mother's funeral. It said, the only prayer of her heart was for all of her children to be in church. He said, and it's a shame that they're only here, they're all here, and the only reason why they're here is because she's there now. She never got to see it. That day, Charlie and Susie changed their life. So, you see how just doing one thing, saying one thing, can change someone's life. I tell you, my buddy Chad said it to me again in Louisiana. He said it to me, and he doesn't even remember saying what he said. He's like, I remember we had a conversation that time, but I don't remember what I said. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was speaking through him, giving him the words to say and allowing lives to be changed because of a willing heart, an obedient heart. Next thing in your notes, I'm going to quit crying, and we're going to move on. Y'all ready? Okay, good. It's one of them's ready. There's only one person ready to keep going. Rest of y'all, we can quit now. No, I'm just kidding. The next thing, see, some forms of Christianity take place in big crowds and in open different in open areas, and then sometimes it's from the pulpit or different things like that, and we see that kind of evangelism, and that's what evangelism is, and we forget the part that it is also about our relationships with others, personal relationship. The next one is interpersonal. That's the conversations that we have with our family, with our friends. Some people go door to door and share the gospel of Christ. Sometimes I don't answer the door. Right now, yeah, just kidding. You know, so I don't, but that's because they knock on the front and we use the back door. So that's why that is. Anyway, it's discussing faith with our friends and our family and our coworkers, the people that God has placed into our lives. And this is the evangelism that most of us are called to. You know what? I'm called to it even though I'm a pastor. I'm called to walk out these doors and talk to people no matter where I go. I haven't always been a pastor, y'all. They'll be like, you do that? I was like, I wasn't always a pastor, right? I've always had this call on my life. You know what? You have always had this call on your life. Since you accepted Christ into your life, this is a call that you've had. Interpersonal evangelism assumes that it's the duties of every Christian to share their faith directly with others. And you know what? This is the most effective way. The most effective way is by us sharing those things with others. John chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Peter and John come in. Jesus heals this blind man. And the people don't believe he's blind, so he calls his parents in. They're mad at Jesus because he did it on the Sabbath. Got all these different things, and they're mad. And they bring the guy in that was blind, and they said, what do you say about this guy? Is he a sinner or what? He's like, look, if he's a sinner, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, and now I see. That's all I know, right? You know what? Some of the times our evangelism is what we know, what happened to us, our testimony. Look, man, you guys can argue the Bible all you want. All I know is that this is who I was, and this is who God made me to be. And this is who he's going to continue to make me to be, because I'm not finished yet, right? Do you know that's one of the most powerful testimonies or most powerful types of evangelism that there is? The change that comes in your life where people say, well, you used to be like this, but now you're different. Well, you used to be like that, but how come it's not that way anymore? Or you used to be like this, and it's not in a condemning way. It's in a, how do I get to be like that? People that want to make a lot of money doing business, guess what? They start looking at people that are making a lot of money doing business and say, how did you do that? Will you show me? Right? People that want to know about playing the guitar, find somebody that does an amazing job at it and say, hey, man, I don't really know how to do it. Will you teach me how to do that? Yeah, here, let me show you. This is what you do. This is how you do it. Guess what happens? They become, some of them, really great guitar players. Some of them just play around and have fun with it, right? But how did it start? Because I saw that and I was like, man, that's what I need. That's what I want. How do I do that? Interpersonal relationships. The next thing in your notes goes hand in hand with that, and it's lifestyle. Lifestyle evangelism, which is actually the most important, I think. It's important to say things, but it's important that they see it, like I was just saying. Some people are outgoing naturally and can do all kinds of stuff, and some people aren't. But you know what? You can always see when somebody's life changed, no matter how loud they are or quiet they are, right? You can always see the differences in their lives. You can always see the change. And because of coming to Christ, let me tell you something. There will be a change. Because what is repentance? It's not just saying, I'm sorry. My kids say that to me all the time. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry I did that. I'm like, look, I'm going to see you next week if you're sorry, because are you going to do it again? If you don't do it again, that'll show me you're truly sorry. And you're not just, because you're going to get in trouble, right? Some of you are, how many of you are I'm sorry, repentance, but you don't really change, right? I'm sorry because that's what I'm supposed to say, because I was taught as a kid. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We get better at it as adults, right? I'm sorry, I ain't at all, right? In my mind, right? I'm sorry, I can't wait to do it again, right? Repentance The change is what is needed, and that's what comes from a lifestyle. We see in the early church, man, the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. Guess what? When they came to Christ, their life totally changed. Why? Because they didn't want to do the things that they had been doing. They wanted to do what brought them closer to God. They wanted to do what brought them closer to who they were supposed to be. Because how many of you know, when you're doing what you're supposed to do, it feels really, really good. When you're not doing it, you're miserable. Do you know why they all enjoyed doing those things? Because it brought them closer to God. It brought them closer. There were other people that they got to hang out with. They weren't by themselves. They were able to do those different things. And because of that, it says this, and all came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and their belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. Why did they have favor with all people? Because God was a part of their life. Why did Joseph have favor when he went in to do the things with Pharaoh and all those different people? Why did he have that favor? Because they saw God at work in his life and said, I might not know your God, but if you're around me, hopefully it'll rub off, right? Do you know according to Scripture, it's supposed to rub off, right? It's supposed to rub off. It's supposed to overflow out of our lives and touch the people that are around us. Abraham, everybody's going to be blessed because I'm blessing you. Because I'm giving this to you, everybody around you is going to be blessed. Do you know what? People around you ought to be blessed because God's a part of your life. If they're not, we need to look at some different things. Just to be honest. We need to change some things. If people aren't being affected by your life to look at God and say, I want that, then maybe we need to change what's going on in your life. Maybe not we, maybe you and God, right? I don't need to be a part of it. Y'all can change without me. Go ahead. The way we live our life should point to Christ, and everybody should see it. And because of that, in verse 47, it says, in the favor of God, praising God and having favor with all the people. And it says, and the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. Do you know what's going to happen? When we start living our lives the way it should be, people are going to start changing. The body of Christ is going to grow. Churches, maybe not this one, but others. I don't care if they come to this church. I want to go to church. You say, church isn't important. Yeah, it is. It is. It puts the principles of God in your life. It helps to disciple. It helps to train. It helps to teach. It is important. It is important. It builds community. It allows you to be around like-minded people. So instead of hearing the garbage of what the world's telling you, you have some people that are trying to live the right life and put good information into you. Well, what do you think I should do? Well, don't read the Bible. Nobody ever says that, but they say do exactly opposite of what the Bible says, and then you'll be happy. Right? Look at the world. That's where it's at, man. Our lives should point to Christ. Our lives should open up the need in people's lives for them to understand that they need it, right? The law is there so we understand we need Christ. Christ has given us and changed our lives so that we can help impact other people. That's what our lives are for. When we come to Christ, when he's our Lord and our Savior, when he's our Lord, let me say that, our lives will impact the people that are around us. Why? Because we'll start doing what he wants us to do. And because of it, there's a change. And because of it, people will say, that's what I need. The last one in your notes, and then we're going to quit. Y'all ready? Service. Evangelism. What does that look like? That looks like outreach to the community. That looks like outreach to the people that are around you. That looks like us as a church getting together and going helping people after the hurricane winds come through, picking up stuff and doing things together. That like, why are you helping me pick up my yard? Because God is good to me and my yard's clean right now because I already did it, right? So now I can help you. Not my yard's clean, so I'm going to sit on my porch and watch you pick up. You missed a spot, right? It's mowing the yard for somebody who can't mow the yard. It's helping clean up. It's helping with the food pantry. It's helping people that are around you when you see that they're in need. It's buying groceries and just giving it to somebody because they look like they need it. It's seeing a need and filling it, regardless of whether you're asked or not, right? Because some of you know, sometimes we see needs and we just kind of, okay, they didn't say nothing, so I ain't going to mess with it. Because then I don't have to get involved. Sometimes it's good not to get involved. But let me tell you, God called us to. James says this. Says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is to this. Do this. Y'all ready? Everybody's like, I wish I knew what I was supposed to do. Here you go. You ready? Here it is. To visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unstained from the world. How many of you know just keeping yourself unstained from the world is hard enough? But we're still supposed to add on. Why? So we're supposed to take care of other people. You know what? If the church was taking care of other people, people would be taken care of. Just be honest. Now, we can't take care of everybody, and we're not taking everybody to raise, right? But we can definitely help out. What does it say? It says, give a man a fish, he's going to eat today, teach him how to do the things that are right, and he'll be able to do them himself, right? That's what we are supposed to do with our lives. Same thing. Our service shows not only helping other people, but it shows them how they can do those things, right? That's one of the things I love. Crown class is coming up. They're going to be doing that. I love going through and looking at all those different things and seeing all the different, because we sat around the table and talked about all the areas that we could do service and all the areas that we could change things and all the areas that God's put into our hands to be good stewards of. Because some of you know, everything that we have is not ours, according to Scripture. Whose is it? It's God's that we're to be a good steward of. The people that he's put into your life, the people that he's put in your everyday life is not just so they're in your life. It's for you to be a good steward over, take care of. Like, well, they're not my, it doesn't matter. Christ has called us. God has called us all to the ministry of reconciliation. And that's not just for some people. It's to everybody we come in contact with. Everybody we come in contact with. Evangelism isn't just a part of a guy that goes around preaching. Evangelism is what we get to do every day, and it's helped to bring people to Christ. It's helped to show people that there's a need for him, that we had a need, that he's filling our need, even though we're in the middle of it, right? Because we're not perfect yet. I mean, y'all might be, but I'm still not. I'm getting there. Don't ask my wife about that part. I'm getting there. I'm changing. Things are better than they've ever been. And I told this, somebody said this the other day. They said, probably you shouldn't say that. It's okay. I'm going to say it anyway. If you could prove to me today that God wasn't real, I'd still live my life the exact same way I'm doing it now. Because God has changed my life in so many different ways, right? He's brought me from who I was to where I'm at. He's blessed me with all kinds of things. My wife, my kids, he's blessed me with you guys, right? If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be standing here with you guys. I'd probably still be in Louisiana, right? I'd probably still be doing whatever if I was still here, right? It's one of those things, man. God changes us not just so that we're changed. He changes us so that we impact everybody around us. And the smallest word in a time of need does more than anything else. Be obedient to what God says to you to do. If he says do something, if he says say something, say it. If there's somebody that's upset and you can tell they're upset he says, hey, you need to say something, go say something. Just be obedient and allow God to let you use what he's given you. Freedom, love, grace, mercy, those things. Bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to leave. God is so good to us, and the fact that, again, as I said earlier, man, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I say us, I mean every single one of us, man. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. Maybe you're here today and you don't really understand what the relationship's all about. You don't understand what access to the Father is. That's a concept that you don't really understand or know. Today you could change that. Scripture says this: if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, that you'll be saved. There'll be a change that'll come over our lives because God will now be a part of it. And just like this weekend, man, we're going to go through a storm, but he's going to be right here with us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to give us peace in the middle of it. He's going to give us all peace in the middle of it. Because we can trust Him. He's our Father. Today, you want Him to be that in your life. You want to make a change. You want to do things different. You want to see God in your life. And those things that we talk about, how amazing it is to have Him there. You want to feel that. You want to know that. The freedom that you only get through Him. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You be honest and say, hey, that's me. I need that change. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. Somebody else. Guys, I want you to say this after me. Everybody in the house, please. Say, dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. I accept what your Son has done for me. The gift that you've given me. The access to you. Thank you for loving me. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of us need to check out our lives and say, am I leading people to Christ with what I say and what I do and how I do it? All of us. To examine ourselves, to examine our lives, to examine where we're at. And then some of us in here, y'all look at me. Some of us in here need to find somebody and ask them, how are you doing what you do? Show me. Show me in the scripture where it says this. Show me in the scripture where this happens. Show me. How God showed you that. Because you know what? We all find it in different ways. And what God gives us can help and should help other people. Again, our gift isn't just for us. It's so that we can share it with others. Amen? This week, I want you to do this, man. Don't forget, guys, fill out the paper. If you want to help, if you can help. If you're like, hey, I want to do things. Yeah, we're going to do that in a second. And then we're going to... They reminded me in the back. Hey, you forgot to take up offering. Guys, come on down. We're going to take up offering. And then they're going to sing on the way out. And then after they're done with offering and we're done singing, we can leave. I mean, if you have to leave before then, I mean, you can. But fill out the paper, man. And if you want to help clean up, if you need help, let us know. Because we can't help. We don't know. And we'll see what we can do about helping out in ways that we can. Find ways to share love, grace, and mercy with everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, we get ready to give, man. Your word tells us to give. And you know, we want to do what you want us to do, Father God. We want to be obedient. Your word also says that you'll put in our hearts what we must give. Everybody has to give what's according to their own heart, man. And God, I ask that you would allow us to be faithful. That you would allow us to hear your voice and to be obedient in every aspect, not just in giving, but in our service, Father God, and in the relationships that we have and in what you've given us to do. We love you and we thank you. We ask that as we give this offering, Father God, that you would allow us to be good stewards of it, Father God, and to do what you've called us to do as a church, as a body, as Victory Church, God. We love you. We thank you. And as we go out this weekend, this week, God, I ask that you would help protect us, help us look to you in the midst of our storms, Father God, not just the physical ones, but every other storm that we battle and face, Father God. Let us see you in it and not lose focus of you in it, God, or your joy. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.